Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
This is part 22 of Liberalism, the New Improved Broad Road to Destruction. Last week, I was commenting on the ministry of some friends of mine who I decided to refer to as Mr. and Mrs. Christian. I'd like to just do a little housekeeping as I finish up commenting about their situation where they recently, in the course of ministering to those that are involved in Tibetan Buddhism here in the States, they had the opportunity to hear the Dalai Lama speak. And of course, the Dalai Lama I've referred to before and his involvement with Thomas Merton and both monastic groups, both of fake Christianity, I'll say, and within Catholicism, and then, of course, Tibetan Buddhism with their monastic style of spirituality, which is also very shamanistic and spiritistic, I mentioned to you before. But basically, all I wanted to catch up with today was Rinpoche is a term that I kind of butchered last week. Rinpoche is a term which actually is, according to this Time magazine article that I have here, it says, now this was back in 2011, it said, when the Dalai Lama came to Washington this month, he wasn't alone. Accompanying the spiritual leader of Tibetans in exile were a group of other leading Rinpoches, or reincarnate lamas and teachers. These Tibetan clerics are precious jewels, as the term Rinpoche means, often keep their national and international influences low profile. So it was kind of a big deal. Well, obviously that the Dalai Lama had come to speak is a big deal to a lot of people. And my friends, of course, were able to be there to hear his teachings and, you know, his influencing folks towards a one world religion. And I guess that's a nice segue to get back to how I was ending last week's podcast when I was talking about some of the developments in Bible prophecy related concerning the current exit from the UK, United Kingdom, British Isles, from the European Union, which, you know, and I won't go into a lot of detail about that, but that's where I left off, just how oftentimes people are ready to trash the views of dispensationalists who believe, really, literally, the Bible prophecies of things to come, things which is not a wise thing to do, and have replaced, through replacement theology, have replaced the promises that God has given to Israel to the church. But anyway, that's a study for another time in depth, and I'll just go on to say that I had kind of opened the door to what was taking place in our day. I had been recently in other podcasts talking about the liberal ecumenical movement and the liberal interspiritual, interfaith movements, which have become sort of common knowledge. Those terms now are pretty popular terms, and they're all about uniting those who profess to be Christian as well as those who profess to not be Christian into some kind of a world movement, either a one world church in the term concerning those who profess to be Christians, or a one world religion for those who want to be those who are helped building the Tower of Babel, and saying that any path that God will do, or any path will get you there, as opposed to what John 14:6, where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And we kind of got our foot in the door, and I had mentioned a book by Gary Fraser that he wrote some time ago, actually, and the title of the book was Seven Signs of the Second Coming of Christ. And I thought it was a good basic view of Bible prophecy, and especially since he laid out what he believed to be seven key signs of the second coming of Christ, which of course involves both the rapture of the church and the bodily return of Jesus Christ in the second coming. Now, in this book, he cites these seven signs, and here's what they are. And I mentioned, of course, last week one world religion, and I won't say much more about that this week since I've already spent a lot of time in previous podcasts. But here's the seven signs that he cites, and I think he's spot on. Sign one, the rebirth of the nation of Israel, of course. Sign two, the reunification of Europe, which is the big issue in the news these days concerning Britain leaving the European Union. Sign three, the raid of Gog and Magog, and I referred to that last week, of Russia leading the coalition of Muslim anti-Semitic groups who want to destroy Israel. Sign four, the revealing of the Antichrist. Excuse me. Sign five, the rise of the one world religion. Sign six, the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, which of course has to do with the Jews, making a covenant with the Antichrist, thinking that he is the Messiah that they've been looking for all these years, who will come and help them restore their worship within Judaism in their temple, rebuilt temple. And sign seven, the rage and the retribution of Armageddon. So these are the seven signs. Now, I just want to look at a few of these, make some comments on a few of these, and then look at some of the current articles that have come out recently concerning England's leaving the European Union, some written by those here in the States, and some from across the big pond, so to speak, the big shore over in England, some of the commentators there, some Christian, some secular, just some interesting things that we want to look at here. Now, number one, the rebirth of the nation Israel. No, there's not a whole lot more needs to be said about that. Israel's back in the land. They've been there for over 60 years now or so, and in fulfillment of Bible prophecy, I believe. Now, the next thing I'd like to take a quick look at from Gary Fraser's book, Sign 3, The Raid of Gog and Magog. Because as you may recall, I pointed out that the invasion, the one world religion, the move towards one world religion, which mostly motivated by the Catholic Church, but others as well, the move of Russia and her allies, Islamic allies, to invade Israel, and then also the reunification of Europe, excuse me, I lost myself in my notes here, that Israel would one day be back in the land, that one day they'd be invaded by a coalition of Muslim nations as well as Russia, and that there'd be a move towards a one world religion. And because these three things are continually to are bearing fruit and continually are coming forth, why would it be so hard for people to believe in the prophecies of the Bible that Christ has given to us, and that dispensationalists have faithfully put forth all these years? Have those things changed? No. So has this move of England out of the European common market, has that really suddenly discredited all the prophetic revelation that God's given through those that understand correctly Bible prophecy? Well, I think not. So anyway, I don't know that was all necessary to be said to set this up, but for those who missed last week's podcast, that was just a quick review. Now, in his book, he talks about, just a comment here on sign three, the raid of Gog and Magog, the Islamic invasion. Speaking of Russia, the big bear may be injured, and this is back when this book was written in 1988. Says, but she isn't out of the game. Russia will be the major player in this battle on the mountains of Israel. This instability has been understood in the firming of the Russian cabinet for the second time in a few months by beleaguered Boris Yeltsin. Again, this is old news, but interesting, because it says the basis for the dismissal was the economic instability of the Russian economy. This is many years ago, but Russia has regained strength, haven't they? The fearsome alliance to come. In addition to Russia, it is sufficient to say that the Muslim nations, which made up a large part of the former Soviet Union until November 1989, will be willing participants. Countries such as Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and others will forge an alliance against Israel. In addition, Ethiopia, the Sudan, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, the Gulf Emirates, Yemen, Egypt, Algeria, and every other Muslim nation. Well, maybe not every other Muslim nation, but there's going to be a big group that are going to come and on the mountains of Israel. Their goal will be the total annihilation of Israel. And again, read all about it in Ezekiel 38 and 39, one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. Now, concerning one world government, these are some comments that he makes. He sees this as the second sign, the reunification of Europe. I am continually amazed at how many Christians are passively indifferent to the world events which are taking place and their prophetic significance. To better comprehend what is happening and when the seeds were sown, we need to once again regress historically. The year was 1948. At just about the same time Israel was proclaiming her statehood, a meeting was taking place in Brussels, Belgium, which would lay the foundation for a new organization known as the EEC, our European Economic Community. The meeting was called the Benelux Conference and was attended by the Netherlands, Luxembourg, and Belgium. These three tiny nations came together because they saw unity as their only hope for economic survival in the post-war world. These countries recognized what we all know is true. That is, there is safety and survival in numbers. All right. Now, I mentioned John Wolford last week, one of the great scholars of Bible prophecy. In his book, Major Bible Prophecies, I quoted some information about the one world religion. Well, now I want to quote from page 372 and 373 of this book concerning the place of the ten nation kingdom in the end times. I think it's interesting, his observations, this man of God, before he passed away years ago. The prediction that there will be a ten kingdom stage of the revival of Roman Empire is one of the most important descriptive prophecies of the end times, of the end time, I should say. This prophecy anticipates that there will be 10 countries originally related to the Roman Empire that will constitute the Roman Empire in its revived form. The names of these countries are not given, but it can be presumed that Italy, the capital country, would be included, along with major countries in southern Europe and possibly some countries in Western Asia and northern Africa, which were included in the ancient Roman Empire. Since the names of the countries are not given, and there are many more than 10 countries in the ancient Roman Empire, it leaves some flexibility in the fulfillment. And I think that's interesting, of course, because we usually think of just Europe as being the basis, or many do. I know I have thought that way in the past, of just the European nations as being the power base for the Antichrist. But as he says, this leaves some flexibility in the fulfillment, since the Roman Empire covered a lot of area back then. The prediction, however, requires a political union and then a dictator over the 10 countries. With the coming of the Common Market of Europe, now embracing 12 countries, and again, this is a book that was written in 1991, so again, this is dated a little bit, a measure of unity has been achieved in Europe. With the thawing of the Cold War in Eastern Europe, the breakdown of communism, and the unification of East and West Germany, the climate is more favorable now than ever before for the formation of such a ten-nation group. Though the possibility of such a fulfilled prophecy was then scorned in preceding generations, it now becomes a very likely possibility. And I put a little note myself here. The scorning continues. I say, he who laughs last, laughs best, I think. Because, like I say, many would scorn because, for some reason, England leaving the European Common Market somehow derails all these prophecies, and that's the end of it. And, you know, who says? but anyway, that's the detractors say that. But he goes on to say, and even the secular world is predicting some sort of a United States of Europe. From a prophetic standpoint, the importance is that this is a major step in end time events leading up to the second coming of Christ. And I might add, when I mentioned he who laughs last laughs best, I should have also said it's not really a laughing matter, is it? It's a serious issue. Now, moving to, again, Mr. Fraser's book, Gary Fraser's book, he says concerning the reunification of Europe, he says, this is, in a very real way, the assertion of the pride of the Tower of Babel. Humanity wishes to build a great unity against God. And of course, we saw back in the book of Genesis, Nimrod attempted to go against the will of God and form a Tower of Babel that would bring together all of the people of the world when God had strictly set up nations. He desired for there to be separate nations, and men were coming and combining to become one. And we see that, of course, a reenactment in these last days, as predicted in Scripture, of a one-world government, a one-world religion, and all of the other things that pertain to man's ultimate rebellion against God in joining together in the man of lawlessness that the Bible refers to as the Antichrist, among other terms and other descriptive names for him. To look at a few of these other articles that I mentioned, I'm kind of looking at these for the most part in chronological order as I got them, and outside of one which may not be exactly in chronological order, that is, in the dates that they came out and as I was able to collect them and to look over them. One is called Europe in Bible Prophecy from the Belfast newsletter, which of course is in the UK, Belfast, Northern Ireland. I've had the opportunity to be there on several occasions to do some short-term ministry. A lot of good Christians over there. Anyway, this was Wednesday, June 22nd, just recently. It says, the subject of Europe is very prominent at present, especially the question of Britain's future in Europe in the light of the forthcoming referendum on June 23rd. EU membership is currently a leading news item, and every day we are given an update by journalists of the latest argument being made by those in the two major camps who are pulling for or against the UK remaining within the European Union. It seems that everyone has an opinion to give or a statement, or a statement to make on the subject. But the question that should concern Bible-believing Christians is, what saith the Scriptures? What does the Word of God have to say on the subject of the future of Europe? That should be our response to every situation and subject in in life and our nation's membership, of the European Union should be no different. Despite what many think or say, even many Christians, the Word of God has much to say about the future of Europe and the nations around the Mediterranean Sea. God has not left us in the dark with regard to these things. In the prophetic scriptures, God has given us a full description of things to come. In summary, the Union of Nations will, number one, bring to a close the times of the Gentiles spoken of by the Lord Jesus, and that's Luke 21:24. It will be a revival of the old Roman Empire. Of course, some of this is repetition here, but I'm taking these comments from other authors for your edification. And he quotes Daniel 2:28, 33, 41 through 43, and 7:24, chapter 7:24. It says it will cover the same area around the Mediterranean Sea as the old Roman Empire, an area known to students of prophecy as the Roman Earth or the Prophetic Earth, Daniel 7, 2 and 3, Luke 2, 1. Number 4, when it reaches its final formation, it will be divided into 10 regions, Daniel 2, 24, 7, 24. It will ultimately become the kingdom of the Antichrist, and only those who take his mark will be able to buy or sell, Revelation 13, 15 through 17. Number 6, it will be destroyed by the coming again of the Lord Jesus. In the light of all that the Lord has revealed to us about the future of Europe, we believe that this is something of which no Christian would want to be a part. So that's a no-brainer. And the next article is from the States. It's from a site called Study, Grow, and Know. The article is titled, Britain Exits from the European Union. It says, will other countries follow suit? Well, things are changing over across the pond. The Conservatives in England have voted to withdraw from the European Union, to the chagrin of Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel, President Obama, and other world leaders. People have had it, and the only ones who resolutely fail to see that are those on the left, who have forced every country that is part of the EU to open its doors to refugees from war-torn areas of the Middle East. To the average person who doesn't understand what has happened that led England to this point, the truth is that many of the conflicts in the Middle East and North Africa in Muslim countries were fomented by world leaders who called it Arab Spring. In reality, it most likely had to do with toppling existing regimes, Mubarak, Gaddafi, and the constant attempts with Assad in Syria, replacing them with puppet governments that would immediately become beholden to either the United States, the EU, a combination of both through massive loans, forcing new leaders to do the bidding of the West. Another reason these conflicts and skirmishes occurred is to not only gain a controlling voice or influence in those countries, but to redraw boundaries as well. Beyond this, the goal of moving refugees from some areas to countries in the EU or America without vetting them creates massive potential problems for those countries' citizens, not to mention the added financial burdens absorbed by these new foster countries. So we can thank the left for that, and that's part of why I use my series title, Liberalism, the New Improved Broad Road to Destruction, because liberalism is a nightmare in so many ways, theologically and politically and every other way. The next article by Ray Gaino, Prophezine, I think is the name of his ministry, his site. It says, Brexit, Bible prophecy, and the revived Roman Empire. This is the question that will be on the mind of Bible prophecy students for months to come as we watch what happens next in both the United Kingdom and the rest of Europe as more nations now threaten to follow England's lead. It says German Chancellor Angela Merkel is leading the charge to hold the EU together and asking nations to remain calm before making any rash decisions. But even she admitted in a statement, there is no point beating around the bush. Today is a watershed for Europe. It is a watershed for the European unification process. French Prime Minister Manuel Valls has perhaps stated the ramifications for Europe best. At stake is the breakup, pure and simple, of the Union. Now is the time to invent another Europe. Another Europe? The potential for another Europe to emerge out of the current crisis has ramifications not only politically and economically, but prophetically as well. Surprisingly, even The Economist magazine, that's a magazine over in, that's a secular magazine in the UK, recognized that this was an important factor for some Protestants voting to leave the Union in their article, Protestants Leaving Europe as a Matter of Eschatology. These evangelicals believe that remaining in the EU put them at risk of eventually joining the beasts final world empire. Why did they believe this? The Bible speaks of several different beasts. Each one is used symbolically to give insight into different aspects of the final world empire and its leader, and when studied together, give us a much better picture of what to expect in the last days. Revelation 13 speaks of a beast in its first seven verses. Another beast ridden by a woman is described in Revelation 17. Daniel 7 speaks of four separate beasts with a reference to a little horn that appears during the time of the fourth beast. Revelation 13 also describes a second two-horned beast beginning in verse 11. These beastly images are also to be understood in the context of the giant image of a man composed of four separate metals in Daniel chapter 2. Relative to most of these descriptions in describing this final world empire is the number 10. 10 toes, 10 heads, and 10 horns. Each give us different understanding, but all point to an alliance of 10 nations leaders that will one day be controlled by the little horn, the Antichrist. A revived Roman Empire of 10. One of the most significant political and economic developments in our modern era was the EEC Treaty, the Treaty Establishing European Economic Community. It was signed in 1957 and in all places, Rome. In fact, there were two treaties called, amazingly, Treaties of Rome. But the one we're most interested in is the European Economic Community. With the development of the common market, many students of Bible prophecy thought this was the start of the 10-nation alliance described in the book of Revelation. However, most were surprised and confused when it continued to grow past 10, eventually reaching 28 nations. To reconcile the idea of 10, some alternate ideas to solve this dilemma were put forward, including the potential role of the 10-nation military alliance within the EU, which appeared in Europe in 1995, called the Western European Union. Another idea floated by some leaders within Europe was the idea of an executive council of 10 to handle the growing size of its nation membership, who would represent the EU populace to an EU president. Both ideas have some merit, but seem unlikely anytime soon. With the United Kingdom pulling out and others threatening to do the same, it gives rise to new speculations. Will the EU reduce in size to 10 when all the new calls for referendums are completed? Will a new union of nations from within the EU evolve to also include countries from the Mediterranean area, such as Israel, which was also part of the Roman Empire? Will a new powerful and charismatic leader emerge on the scene to lead what is left of the EU, or perhaps create a new alliance of 10 nations that is not yet on the horizon? We do not know how this will ultimately play out, but we do know eventually this prophecy will come to pass. Recent events represent serious change for this region and the world. It is an area that the Bible has a lot to say about in the last days, and we encourage you to become familiar with the different passages in Daniel and Revelation that reveal what the final world empire will look like. And then quickly and finally, from the Daily Mail, which is also a secular newspaper in England, has Britain avoided a European superstate? France and Germany draw up plans to morph EU countries into one with control over members' armies and economies. Wow. France and Germany reported to have drawn up a super state plan. It would mean members to give up armies and economic power to the EU. Plans for a closer European Union have been branded, and this is from, by the way, June 27th and 28th, have been branded an attempt to create a European super state. Germany's foreign minister, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, and his French counterpart, Jean-Marc Ayrault, today presented a proposal for closer EU integration based on three key areas: internal and external security, the migrant crisis, and economic cooperation. But the plans have been described as an ultimatum in Poland, with claims it would mean countries transfer their armies, economic systems, and border controls to the EU. It's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? The plans have been leaked to a Polish television channel, and the country's foreign minister, Witold, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce that name, Wojciechowski, pictured here in this article, is said to be outraged. Four Eastern members had reservations about the proposed common security policy. Eastern members have become increasingly jittery on security issues since Moscow used so-called hybrid warfare or undeclared covert tactics to annex the Crimean Peninsula from Ukraine in 2014. Poland's public TVP described the Franco-German proposal as an ultimatum designed to create a European superstate dominated by large nations. According to the Daily Express, the 9-page report has outraged its foreign minister, who I mentioned earlier from Poland, whose name shall not be pronounced again. I'm sorry. The Express reports the document says France and Germany will strive for a political union in Europe and invite the next Europeans to participate. It comes after the UK voted to leave the EU in a landmark referendum last week, causing shock waves across Europe. Now, my time's just about up. The result has prompted right-wing European parties in France and Eastern Europe to suggest similar votes, with the EU criticized for its federalism and European Commissioner President Jean Juncker blamed for Brexit within the organization. So that's the end of that article and the end of our time. We will see you next week. We will continue in this series on liberalism, and we will be getting back now into studying some of the various morphed forms of liberalism within the church and different terms and movements at that time. God bless you all. See you next week.